ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So today we have to start the topic your real self. In the first chapter, the topic that we have to start is your real self. Please read, Shweta.
Your real self. Human beings have lost the knowledge of their real self. Vedanta expounds yourself as supreme, whole, absolute. He who realizes the self enjoys infinite peace and bliss. Having lost the infinite state, humans feel a sense of imperfection, feel a void within. This feeling generates thoughts to flow towards the world to fill the void, to perfect the imperfection felt within. These thought currents are called desires. Like thoughts going towards food when the stomach is empty is the desire for food.
So all that he's saying in this first paragraph is that no one knows the real self, and Vedanta says your real self is supreme, the ultimate reality or Godhead. Now, which is complete, paripurna, W-H-O-L-E, whole. But you do not know that you are W-H-O-L-E, whole. You think you are H-O-L-E. So, because of this ignorance of your true nature, there is a void, and that void is not real. It is an imaginary void. But due to that imaginary void, you try to fulfill that void, and therefore what you do is you send your thoughts towards the world. You know, your thoughts from you to the world to feel full. And the thoughts, when they flow, it starts becoming a desire. That's all it says. So you feel a void, and the feeling generates thoughts to flow towards the world to fill the void. For what purpose? To perfect the imperfection felt, which is imaginary. But even though it's imaginary, you don't know that. You will understand that when you realize that you are already complete. So therefore, these thought currents are called desires when they flow from you to the world. Like thoughts going towards food when the stomach is empty. Therefore, what is desire? Desire is nothing but your thoughts going towards the world. It could be physical, emotional, intellectual. This is what is happening in all of us. Continue.
The desires thus generated use the body to find sensual pleasure, use the mind to indulge in emotional joy, the intellect to seek rational satisfaction. The quest for happiness goes on perennially. Only the one who has discovered the self within finds complete satiation, complete total fulfillment. His quest for happiness ceases. His pursuit for pleasure and peace through his body, mind and intellect ends. This truth has been demonstrated in the lives of self-realized sages and saints.
So, all he's saying is, once the desire starts, now you have to fulfill that void. So, people try to fulfill that through sensual pleasures, emotional joys and intellectual delights. You know, so there is desire for something physical. So, then you try to work to get that physical object. Something emotional, then you work towards that. Or something intellectual, then you try to work towards that. So basically, it never ends. Because once you fulfill one desire, what happens? It multiplies. See, desires either multiplies or it, changes into different variety. Like greed, jealousy, fear, etc. So this is what happens to desires. So he says, The desires thus generated use the body to find sensual pleasures, mind emotional joy, and intellect for rational satisfaction. And the quest for happiness goes on perennially. Because any desire you fulfill, the moment you fulfill, you will want more and more and more. Like the Pepsi ad, they say, "Dil mange more." It never ends. You have, you want more. You have, you want more. Why is this? Anybody? Why is this?
Because the happiness is not in that object, actually.
No, that is okay. Because Shweta is in a very high level. No, that is correct only. But see, what happens is, you are actually looking for infinite happiness. You are not looking for temporary happiness.
Hmm.
And anything in the world cannot give you infinite happiness. It will give you temporary, again you will feel the void. Again you will run. Again you will feel the void. Again you will run. Because your original nature is infinite, you will not rest content till you reach that infinite. You understand? Therefore, the quest for happiness goes on perennially. It only stops when you have discovered the self. Because when you have discovered the self, he uses the right word, discovering. It is not finding. It is not lost for you to find it. You are in ignorance. You are complete, but you are in ignorance. You are believing yourself to be Sadhana, Shweta, Sunanda, Sandhya, etc. It's your problem. Therefore, once you gain the knowledge, you discover the self. When you discover the self, you understand, you realize that you are complete. Then you find complete satiation. Uske baad, there is no void. When there is no void, there is no question of thoughts running towards the world. You are in total fulfillment. Then what happens? You are in happiness. Therefore, the quest for happiness dissolves, ceases. Then the pursuit of pleasure and peace through his body, mind, intellect ends. Till that, it never ends. It has been demonstrated by self-realized souls. Whoever has realized the self, when they were asked, "What do you want?" they said, "Nothing." I know there are many, many stories. There is a very interesting story about a sage who lived a very, very simple life. He was a great devotee of Lakshman Parvati, and he was living in utter poverty. But he was very fulfilled. He is a self-realized Mahatma. So, Maha Parvati said, "We have to go and give him some boon." So they appeared in front of that poor sannyasi. And he prostrated to them. They said, "What can we give for you?" "I don't want anything. I am absolutely fine." So Lord Shiva said, "I told you, he is paripurna. He doesn't need anything." Then Ma said, "No, no, no. That is how Bhakta will say. We have to give him something." So still ask. So they asked, "What do you want?" He said, "Since you are insisting so much, I'll tell you, maybe I was stitching." He was stitching his old torn cloth that time. He said, "Just make sure that when I'm stitching, the thread should follow the needle. Basically, it means I don't want anything." So, how much ever you pester, there is no quest for happiness in a Mahatma who has realized himself, because he is complete, paripurna. So, therefore, the quest for happiness only will stop when you discover the self. Instead of discovering the self, you do everything else. You are, if you can afford, you will change the house. If you cannot afford, you will paint the house, repaint. If you can afford, you will change the sofa set. Otherwise, you will change the upholstery. You keep on doing something or other, but you will never get that satiation till you realize the self. Whether you add more money to yourself, whether you add more and more friendship and relationships to your life, or you add more and more knowledge and information to your life, it's not going to quench. It will only quench when you have realized the self. Continue, please.
Your real self therefore remains ever in absolute peace and bliss. That is your original being. No sooner you lose the self, you develop desires. The desires keep pressuring you to return to your original self, to your primal nature. A simple experiment demonstrates this truth. Place a coil spring 4 feet high on a table. Press it down with your palm to 1 foot. The pressure builds in pushes your palm upwards. Release it at 2 feet. The pressure reduces. Release it to 3 feet. The pressure reduces further. Release it to 4 feet. There is no pressure at all. That is because it has reached its original state. Likewise, desires incessantly pressurize a human to gain peace and pleasure. The pressure ends on realizing the self. Hence, the self is said to be your original being.
So, he uses example to substantiate the point. You take a coil spring, which is original height is 5 feet. You compress it to 1 foot. What happens? There will be pressure on your palm. You release it to 2, there will be pressure but reduced. Release it to 5, no pressure. Why? Because it's reached its original height. So, when you have moved away from your original state, there will be pressure for pleasure, either physical, emotional or intellectual. And that will risk and take only when you have reached your original state. Till then it will not. So there is always pressure for pleasure in our life, constantly. And what we are doing is going on chasing and fulfilling. And this kind of life is called as Bichara lifestyle. You understand? It's called, you say no, Bichara, poor fellow, wretched life. So it's nothing to do with being rich or poor, being well informed or less informed. It doesn't matter. Are you leading a wretched life or not? There are people with so much of knowledge leading a wretched life. There are people with so much of money leading a wretched life. There are people with no money leading a wretched life. People with less information leading a wretched life. So it's up to you. So the constant chasing. Our whole life goes in chasing. And it's like chasing a rainbow. How much ever you chase, it never ends. You understand? You seem to succeed in achieving certain things in life and temporarily you feel satisfied. But then you realize, no, I haven't caught the rainbow. You cannot find that joy externally. But still we continue. So therefore he says, the desire incessantly pressurizes a human being to gain peace and pleasure. The pressure ends on realizing the self. So Vedanta says, God knows how long we are going to be alive. We don't know. We think we will be living for a long time. You know, God knows, we don't know. So when you are alive, do whatever you want. But you must understand that the goal and purpose of life is to realize the self. Work towards it. Have fun. But don't lose your vision. So you should be on a mission. That doesn't mean you get so involved in it. Understand that everything else is secondary. My only priority is self-realization. Continue, please.
In the diagram, line AB represents human evolution from 0 to 100%. Position A indicates a human being at the lowest state with no spiritual development at all. Position B, the absolute state of self-realization. A person evolves from position A to B by dropping his desires. Line CD represents his dependence upon the world. Point C represents zero dependence on the world of the self-realized person as he is totally self-sufficient. Nothing that the world offers can enhance that infinite peace and bliss he enjoys. He is like the ocean whose waters do not rise with all the rivers pouring in. He remains ever absolutely fulfilled. Whereas point D represents total dependence upon the world of a person who has zero development. He is like a piece of wood or stone. In the present world, hardly anyone belongs to the extreme positions. The entire range of human beings falls in between A and B. As one evolves spiritually from A to B, one's dependence on the world diminishes correspondingly from C, D to C, as illustrated. Thus, the evolution of a person and his worldly needs are inversely proportional. It is a law.
So, you see this diagram, two parallel lines, AB, 0 to 100, CB, 0 to 100. One line, A to B, is talking about human evolution. Dependence on the world is represented by CB. So, if you see this, and a person is 0% evolved, 100% dependent, 50% evolved, 50% dependent, 75% evolved, 25% dependent, 100% evolved, 0% dependent. It doesn't want anything from the world. Absolutely paripurna. So now from this, what do you understand? The more and more spiritually you evolve, the less and less independent you become. Correct? Your wants reduce. So to understand whether you are growing spiritually or not, you got to see what all you can be without, not what all you have turned against. Turning against is not spiritual growth. But what all you can be without. So spiritual evolution is opposite of accumulation. See, when you lead a simple life, certain things get added in your life, extra, that you will use to distribute, that's separate, that is not accumulating. But when you are in spiritual field, the tendency to accumulate will not be there. Because aapka attachment zero ho jata hai. Ya kam ho jata hai. Dependence kam ho jata hai. Requirements kam ho jata hai. Finally zero ho jata hai. You understand? So that's what he's saying. When you evolve 75%, what you need is only 25%. So from this, what do you understand? See, when you are 75% evolved, what you need is only 25%. But being at a high level of evolution, you will be terribly calm. Tremendously calm. And you will be highly clear about what you should do, how you should function. And you will be dynamic. With all this combination, when you work, you will not just get 25, you will be getting more than 75. But what you need is only 25. You will always end up with surplus. That is heaven. Now come to this, 25% your reward, you need 75%. But you lack clarity, you will be disturbed. You will not be dynamic because that lack of clarity, confusion will not be making you to act properly. So what will happen? You will not even, you will struggle to get that 25 itself. But you actually need 75. So you will be in hell. So therefore, instead of trying to create heaven around you, you should understand the heaven is within you. By evolving spiritually. That's the point. So how do you understand, are you growing spiritually or not? Your attachments and possessiveness should come down. Not necessarily possession. Your possessions are fine. Nothing wrong with them. But your possessiveness should come down. If your possessiveness continues, then you are not spiritually evolved. So that's why he says, you know, the dependence diminishes. Completely reduces when you reach the self. 0% dependence. Agar hai toh theek hai. Nahi hai. कोई कंप्लेंट नहीं. सो that inner fulfillment is the state that he's talking about. So he says the evolution of a person and his worldly needs are inversely proportional. It is a law. So if you are physically growing and you expect others to respect you as an elder, then you should be less attached and wanting less. But if they see you wanting more than them, it means you are only physically grown, but mentally you are still not grown. So as you evolve spiritually, as you become more and more mature, see, when you say spiritually evolve, it is not that something separate. What it means is, a human being can grow physically, emotionally, intellectually, and then spiritually. We have all these personalities, no? Body, mind, intellect, and atma. So one needs to grow fully. That's the purpose of life. It's not just only growing in one direction, only materially, only physically, only emotionally. But you got to understand that you also have a spiritual personality. You got to evolve towards it. When you evolve, the requirements come down, but your ability increases. In fact, with all the attachments on your head when you run, your speed will reduce, isn't it? But when the attachments are reduced, the running speed will be very, very high. That's all he's saying. It makes you capable to function in the world. So, somebody asked Swami Vivekananda, what did you gain by coming to spiritual field? Being in spiritual field for so long, what have you gained? He said, I don't know what all I gained, but I know what all I lost. What did you lose? Anger, fear, jealousy, greed, arrogance, hypocrisy, you know, lust, all this I lost. So when all this goes, attachment, and all this goes, possessiveness, all this is gone, you become light. You will have tremendous clarity and dynamism and peace. And that's a perfect formula for achieving success. Continue.
The knowledge of Vedanta serves you both ways. It helps you evolve spiritually to reduce your desires. It also enhances the clarity of thought to gain success and progress in your field of activity, thus providing you with material well-being. Consequently, you command material prosperity while your demands remain minimal. That puts you on a pedestal of peace and happiness.
Simple. What you require is minimum. But the fact that you have tremendous clarity, and so it is not that you want to save, but there will be surplus. This is the way to function. You know, it teaches you both ways. Make you spiritually evolve, reduce your desires, and materially progress. Sri Krishna, in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is actually not said by Sri Krishna, but it is said by Sanjaya. But that's the last shloka. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishnaha, Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhuti, Dhruvo Nitir Matir Mama. Yatra means where? Yogeshwara Krishna, Sri Krishna, who is a Lord of Yoga. And Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha, where there is Arjuna, who is the archer, you know, the great archer, Dhanurdharaha. Tatra, there, Shri, Vijayo, Bhuti, Dhruvo, Nitir, Matir, Mama. He says, there will be victory, fame, dharma, prosperity, everything, peace, This is unsound policy. This is my opinion, says Sanjaya. What he is saying is, Dhanurdharaha. Arjuna is called as Dhanurdharaha. Now, what is this Dhanurdharaha? Why is he using this name Dhanurdharaha for Arjuna? See, in Dhanush, you know, when you are using the bow and arrow, bow represents Om. Om means knowledge, Upanishads. And the arrow represents you. You got to sharpen the arrow with the spiritual sadhana. And then place it upon the knowledge. And with the detachment, which is represented by pulling the arrow back. With the detachment, little bit you got to pull the world, everybody is running towards the world. You know, run, 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 run. Kind of that, pull little bit backwards means detachment. The arrow has to be pulled back, no? And when you pull, you are aiming on that goal, which is self-realization. And then release it. Then the arrow travels and becomes one with the goal. So, where there is Sri Krishna, meaning spiritual evolution, the focus is upon the self, not upon the world. What will I get? What will I get? And the demand is there for more and more all the time. That fellow cannot concentrate. It's very difficult. So, where there is Sri Krishna and Arjuna, means, like I said, when you evolve spiritually, disturbing factors are less. You have tremendous clarity, goal. Then you function. You get this material prosperity and spiritual peace. Both of it. That puts you on a pedestal of peace and happiness. Continue. Vedanta procures happiness. How does it procure happiness is going to discuss.
Vedanta procures happiness. Every human being tries to find peace and happiness in the world. Yet none has succeeded in gaining it. Happiness is not something that you draw from the external world. For example, a person finds pleasure in smoking cigarettes while another detests smoking. The cigarette being the same produces pleasure to one and pain to another. Again, one wants to divorce his wife. Another waits anxiously to marry her. The lady being the same produces sorrow to one and the joy to the other. Hence, pleasure or pain, joy or sorrow is not inherent in the objects of being of the world, or beings of the world. They are in you, depending on how you relate to the world outside.
So first thing is, every human being tries to find peace and happiness in the world. See, in short, what he's saying is, scriptures are saying this, all that we are doing from the time we wake up till the time we go to bed. Dukkha nivritti sukha prapti. Sadhana told before the class, sir, I will be leaving Delhi for a while till the pollution reduces. Because pollution gives problem for her. She has certain health conditions. So she cannot be here. It gives her dukkha. So for dukkha nivritti, she is going somewhere else. Like that in everybody, we, something or the other, we have dukkha. Supposing you get dukkha when you hear that some Swami is coming to give a lecture in your house, you leave before that fellow comes. Hey Baba, if this fellow comes, he will start giving one lecture now. So, in that case, for you, it is dukkha nivritti. So, by avoiding that, you want to find joy. It's called dukkha nivritti. Then there is sukha prapti. Sukha prapti is what? You love something, that's going to happen, so you court it. No. Somebody whom you really love is coming. You wait for that time, you really look forward, go and attend and meet that person. So it's called sukha prapti. So this is what we are doing. From morning till night, all that we want is happiness in some way or the other. Either by avoiding sorrow or by directly courting joy. Now, in short, all of us are looking for happiness. Now, if you are looking for happiness, should you not know what is the residential address for happiness? Yes or no? If I want to find happiness, I should know where it resides. But I see my friends, my elders, everyone around me, what they are doing? Running towards the world. Why? In the hope of finding that happiness. Not knowing whether it is there or not. So what do? I also run. Betsal, without thinking. Bhago. So, if you get degree, it will help you to run more. If you get post-graduation, more run. If you get PhD, you can run like natural. You understand? So, in some way or the other, you want to gather all this to run, to find that happiness. Without asking, Repa, where is this happiness? Is it there in the world? Then, okay, fine, I can equip myself with whatever I want, and then I run. But I don't know. I didn't even ask the question whether it is there. I just saw everybody running, I also run. Isn't that what we are doing? If you tell Arey Bata, thoda sa wait karo, let's question, and then by the time I sit and question, my friends have gone 5 kilometers ahead. Uske baad I can't catch them. Not possible. Because if I spend 3 years or 7 years sitting down and reflecting, by the time these fellows have bought Mercedes Benz, Rolls Royce, everything, I would have missed all that. No, I should run. You forget about it. This is what is happening. So Vedanta says, stop and think, man. Everybody is running. At the age of 70 also, he is not found it. He started running at the age of 17. 77, abhi 60 years ho gaya. Uske baad bhi, he is still not found it. So then, where is this happiness? He says, happiness is not something that you draw from the external world. So he says, you ask yourself, you find out. Fellow thinks it comes from cigarette. So it runs, he runs after it. But there are other fellows who run away from cigarette. For them, cigarette brings agitation. You cannot be in that place. You know, when you go to the hotels, they book the hotels, they ask non-smoking, smoking. Sometimes they make a mistake and they may give you a room in smoking area. Oh my God. Fellows would have smoked so much, I don't know. You just can't stay there. So some people just cannot be there. They just want to run away. If it was there in the, if the happiness was there in cigarette, then everybody must get it. And not only that, even the person who's getting it should get it in every contact. Second cigarette, happiness kam ho gaya. Fifth, bahut kam ho gaya. Tenth, to bahut kam ho gaya. So therefore, he's saying, if it was there in cigarette, it should bring happiness to everybody. But it brings pleasure to some, pain to another. Similarly, he says about lady. Some people try to find happiness in that lady, so they want waiting to get married to her. But there is a fellow who is already married. He is waiting for the divorce to come through. If the happiness was there in that lady, it should give happiness to everybody. But that's not the case. So therefore, you can jolly well conclude that it is not there. It is seeming that it is there. That's the thing. Hence, pleasure or pain, joy or sorrow is not inherent in the objects or beings of the world. They are in you, depending on how you relate to the world outside. If you relate properly, you can make a heaven out of hell. If you don't know how to relate, you make a hell out of heaven. And that's what happened with Othello. A fellow married one of the finest lady. In character, and beauty both. External and internal level, she was perfect. And she loved him and married him. But that fellow did not know how to relate. He became possessive about her, terribly attached, and he lived a pathetic life. And he finally killed her also. So it's not what you have, it's how you relate. Depending upon how you relate to the world outside, you will find happiness. It's in the mind. It's got nothing to do with what you have. Now when you understand this, how will you have jealousy seeing others having something? This is a problem. You know, today we are all in the Instagram world. Instagram world mein kya hota hai? People take snaps and keep on putting it in the Instagram. Before that, before taking the snap, they probably beat each other when they were on tour. I don't know, I'm just saying. But they're okay. I'll be selfie learning. So they put makeup and all after the fight. They smile and take one selfie and put it in Instagram. Then you are thinking, other Baba, except me and my husband, everybody seems to be happy. And you get more agitated. You don't know the other things, what happened there. How can there be jealousy when you understand these fundamental things? It's got nothing to do with anything. It's to do with your inner development. It's to do with your inner adjustment. That has not happened. And therefore, outside there cannot be happiness. That's all he's saying. So depending on how you relate to the world outside, you find happiness. It is entirely within you. Continue.
Not realizing this truth, people try to use their body, mind and intellect to gain pleasure and joy from the world. The enjoyments gained therefrom are transient, impermanent. They pass away, while true happiness lies within you. You will have to find it in your own self. The German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer puts this idea succinctly. It is difficult to find happiness in oneself, but it is impossible to find it anywhere else.
See, when he says, people are still trying to gain pleasure and joy from the world. The enjoyments gained from them are transient, impermanent, they pass away. While true happiness lies within you. And he keeps on saying it lies within you, within you, within you. Within you means what? Within the body? Where is it? Within means where? We need to ask that question. When he says within, obviously he's talking about mind. But mind means what? What is that within? You see, a person who got joy from cigarette, you take that example. How he got joy? He got joy, or at least he says he got joy when he smoked because he had desire for cigarette. The other fellow did not have desire for cigarette, who ran away. So when he had desire for cigarette and he had a cigarette, the contact with the cigarette temporarily fulfills the desire. So, from this what we understand, happiness is fulfillment of desire. Is that clear? Now, we already studied, you are complete, but not knowing that you are complete, there is a void, and to fill that void, the thoughts run towards the world, towards the cigarette in this case. So, initially you are complete only, you are happy only, paripurna only, but in you the thought comes for cigarette, like that. Now, when the thought comes, the desire is there for cigarette. you are now agitated without cigarette. And you contact the cigarette. It removes the agitation caused by the desire. So what is the cigarette doing? Cigarette is only removing the agitation caused by the desire for cigarette. Before the desire for cigarette, you did not have any agitation. You are absolutely fine. You are very normal, sleeping well, happy, contented. Suddenly you got the news, pata hai? Gold ka rate bahut sasta ho gaya. Ek kilo rate mein 2 kilo milta hai. You got such a news. Desire started, start agitated now. Now, you were in a happy state. The desire come, you got agitated. So you have to somehow buy that gold. When you buy that gold, happiness. Now you think happiness came from gold. What is happiness? What is the gold doing? It removed the agitation created by the desire for gold. Then you are coming in contact with the happiness that was already there. But you wrongly attribute it to gold. You wrongly attribute it to cigarette. You think it, cigarette brought joy. Cigarette did not bring joy. You experience the joy from within. This is the beauty. But you wrongly attribute it to cigarette. So what happens? Temporarily you are fine, but again, desire for cigarette comes. Or desire for something else comes. Then you run, fulfill. Run, fulfill. Now you think it's coming from these objects. But actually it's coming from within. So therefore we define happiness as what? Happiness is a state of mind in which desire is either fulfilled or desire is completely eradicated. When the desire is fulfilled, it's temporary. When the desires are completely eradicated, it is permanent. Is this clear? So, when you understand this, then you do not want to fulfill the desire. You will want to eradicate the desire. You will want to eradicate the desire. Now, next question. Agar main desire ko eradicate kar diya, phir main kaisa enjoy karenge life ko? Vedanta fellows keep on saying something like this. So when my desire is not there, how will I enjoy? Vedanta says, in fact, you enjoy more without desire. How? When there is desire, when the object is not achieved, you are agitated. Whether you will achieve it or not, you don't know, so therefore agitated. Till I want it. And when you get it, this fear whether I will lose it. You don't enjoy. Are you with me? But when there is no desire, you are contacting, you will be in the present totally. With no craving. So you enjoy maximum. So to be able to enjoy, you should not have the desire. And even if there is desire that took you to the contact, while you are contacting, you should control the desire and not be craving. If the craving is there, you won't enjoy. So therefore, a person who has no desire enjoys maximum. See, he has neither desire to contact nor has desire not to contact. So therefore, when he is hungry, everybody is hungry, who will eat and he is eating, his mind is not craving for second sweet or third sweet, or maybe it will become a, you know, less, so I need to finish fast. So I can get the second one. So I'm not really registering the taste. There's no craving in that self. Happily he will be enjoying that one sweet with full awareness, complete mindfulness, and he will enjoy it maximum. Then if he needs, he'll eat one more. Otherwise, there's no need to eat one more, you will not eat. Then who is enjoying? Is the fellow with the desire enjoying, or the fellow with no desire enjoying, or less desire enjoying? So therefore, the more and more we reduce our desires, we enjoy more. Fellows with possessiveness, they can't enjoy. Not possible. You know, one fellow was working in a big company in a big position. So they had given him, you know, luxury cars for his use. So he was going in the car and they said, oh, fantastic cars, man, superb shock absorbers. It is going into the pothole and speed breakers and this and that. He's saying, fantastic. I got terrible roads, but these cars are superb. I am enjoying. Company's car. Then after a few days, he buys the same car, same model, everything. He's going in that car. Same road, same speed breakers and potholes. When it goes inside and comes out, he catches his heart. Appa. He's telling the driver, Aram Sajar. Why? Earlier he enjoyed, now he's complaining. These fellows, what kind of roads they put, man? They're terrible fellows. Last week, he was enjoying. Beautiful shock absorber. Now, today, he's not enjoying. Same car. In fact, new car. Slightly upgraded model. Why? Anybody? Why?
Because now it's his first.
It's his own.
It's his.
Mera. The part mera. Mine. Possessiveness. The moment desire, possessiveness comes, you're finished. This is the problem. You won't enjoy it. So in fact, when the desire is gone, you enjoy maximum. It's all Vedanta teaches. When you understand these things, you drop the possessiveness and enjoy. You find out now all these fellows were terribly possessive. Incredible. You just cannot do anything. Swamiji says, when he had gone to lecture in France, somebody organized his lecture. So he went many, many years ago. One or 2 days in between when there are no lectures, he was sitting at home and Swamiji is also from South India like me. We all love our coffee. So, he said, Swamiji, you like coffee, don't you? I'll take you to a place. You do not have coffee at home, you come with me. So he took him. He didn't say, let's go. He took him. And they went and sat there. They ordered the coffee. And when the coffee came, he said, Swamiji likes to drink hot coffee. I also like to drink hot, don't want cold. But I might as well order cold coffee then. So before it gets cold, he was about to drink. Swamiji, last time I came, it was 10% less. I mean 10% badhe. So Swamiji put the cup down. He was not drinking. And then he was about to drink again. This would be what, 10 sips, Swamiji? That means each sip, 1% gone off. He put it down again. And then, something or other like that. And before he could say anything, Swamiji said, let me drink. And suddenly I had only cold coffee. After paying so much money. Possessiveness. An attachment, that desire, does not allow you to enjoy. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's what he's saying. There is no joy in the world outside. It is impossible to find it. It is difficult to find it within, but it is impossible to find it else. You've got to understand the happiness is within you. It is to do with removing the desire. Temporary way of doing is fulfilling. But fulfilling doesn't satisfy permanently. Therefore, way to find happiness is by eradicating desire. And it's within me means my own original self. Continue.
Vedanta guides you towards your inner self. Every human being is constituted of a supreme self within, enveloped by the material layers of the body, mind and intellect. People identify with their material components. They entertain themselves with the instant pleasures that these outer layers provide. Little do they realize that the happiness derived from them soon wears away. Hence, to find enduring happiness, you will have to delve deeper into your personality. Transcend the limitations of the body, mind and intellect. Get to the divine core of your personality and find the abode of absolute bliss.
So, therefore, after explaining all this, what Vedanta does is it gives us a sense of direction by guiding us correctly towards the Atma. Yeah, don't waste your time. Hello, Tika, you wasted your time for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. How do you continue karma? Agar if you have understood this, will you continue? You will not know. You are trying to find something which is in the eastern direction, but you are going ahead towards the west and you have been constantly marching towards the west. Gone far away from the center where you started. Now you understood that it is the eastern direction. Will you still continue in the west? I hope not. If you still continue in the west, then I don't know what to tell you. You understood it is not in this direction. I have to go in the other direction. So what you'll do? You'll do a U-turn. That U-turn, when you do, it's the real turn of your life. Whenever that happens within. Just because you're reading doesn't mean the U-turn has already happened. But when that happens within you, that's the crux. He says Vedanta guides you towards your inner self. Every human being is constituted of the self and the body, mind, intellect, material component. Constantly, you've been running only after the body, mind, intellect. Body, mind, intellect. Body, mind, intellect. Nothing else. So therefore, he says they entertain themselves with the instant pleasures that these outer layers provide. Only instant pleasures, nothing else. So, he says, little do they realize that the happiness there from them soon wears away. That's the problem. You know? And they sink low. Oh, it's gone. You know, when you bring up your kids also, if you make them indulge, as soon as any new mobile phone model comes, you buy them. Within few days, they lose joy. And new model is not yet come. They will be in depression. Depression. All this is happening now. I'm not creating stories. This is happening everywhere. You are going on feeding the mind. If you understand these things, you will not feed the mind. They'll say all these are instant pleasures. You will teach them for delayed gratification. Our problem in the world today is I don't want to eat at home. Okay, beta, Swiggy karo. Swiggy it. Just Swiggy. That's what they're doing. So immediately, hello. So it has to happen immediately. Like, you know, there was time when even I've seen it myself. We have to book trunk call and wait. Suddenly in the middle of the night, they may connect. So you will be, everybody, hello, they'll be shouting like anything. No, that was the time, you know. You are left for the airport to inform your people at home that you have reached the gate and all that. Maybe there are some telephones installed, you might have to call from there. And there will be queue. Sometimes you may not get the opportunity to call them back. You may call them after reaching your destination. They are also no problem. They are also waiting happily. Now, as soon as you leave the house, we've reached 5 kilometers, one message. Abhi 10 kilometer. Abhi pahunchne wali. Abhi we are in the outside door. We just entered. And we are in the queue now, 10th person. Like that, running commentary is going on. And if the message has not come, you get so agitated, so agitated. This is the level of our mind today. That's what I'm saying. So he says, little do they realize that the happiness derived from them soon melts away. Hence, to find enduring happiness, you will have to delve deeper into your personality. You've got to stop this indulgence. You've got to regulate the contacts. Not that you should not contact. Then also you'll get frustrated. Then again you'll be thinking about that only. So you regulate there. You know? Have a lifestyle where regulated life you lead. Neither indulgence nor suppression. And then delve deeper into your personality. Think, question like we are doing now. What did I achieve materially? How has it contributed from happiness? What I achieved at the physical level? How has it contributed from happiness? What is happening? Take stock of your life. First thing in the morning. Think about it. That's what he said. Then slowly you will transcend the limitations of body. Transcend the limitations means today you are like stuck at the body level. Body means family also. Remember that. Majority of us are stuck at the family level. He just cannot think. Not possible. Because this body came from my parents' body. This body produced my children. Attached. Beyond that I cannot think. You have to transcend the limitations, the boundaries. They should not become a boundary, that's all. That doesn't mean you don't take care of your body. Take care of your mind. Take care of your intellect. No, you have to take care. So then slowly you go and then go into the self. So he says, get to the divine core of your personality. And find the abode of absolute. Yes. When you get there, you reach the abode. You've arrived home. Like when you're traveling in the car, you put Google here. Google map. The destination is this thing, that thing, it goes on saying. Finally, you have arrived at your destination. Done. Uske baad kuch nahi. Ho gaya. You've reached the abode of absolute. Yes. Going beyond the limitations. This is the way to do. So let's continue the next topic next week. Let's conclude now. Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Budhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhava Karomi Yadyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Yeti Samarpayam. Hari Om.